Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I am Kevin Fitzgibbons filling in for Jerry Klein this week. This week we have an interview with Madeline Shields and Amanda Stid from the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House talking about their Night of Hope for the Homeless and the impact that that has on the community and its leaders. Next we'll have news in a minute with Renee Kranz, but first we'll have the readings and the gospel, Melinda North with the first and second, and Father Brian Eckrich with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, Amalek came and waged war against Israel. Moses, therefore, said to Joshua, "Pick out certain men, and tomorrow go out and engage Amalek in battle. I will be standing on top of the hill, with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him. He engaged Amalek in battle, after Moses had climbed to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. As long as Moses kept his hands raised up, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. Moses' hands, however, grew tired, so they put a rock in place for him to sit on. Meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. And Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The word of the Lord. A reading from 2 Timothy. Beloved, remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you learned it, and that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that one who belongs to God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingly power, proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones, who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Now we have Renee Kranz with this week's news.
The Sacred Art series at the Cathedral of St. Joseph has already begun its new season. It promises to be the perfect place to find a little respite from the busyness of life. With the next concert date set for November 2nd, this year's series includes concert choirs, vocal ensembles, a string quartet, and the Cathedral of St. Joseph Choir. For more details, concert dates, and to purchase tickets, visit stjosephcathedral.net/SAS. Pope Francis named a U.S. Archbishop serving as a nuncio to head the Vatican Diplomatic Academy. Archbishop Joseph S. Marino, a native of Birmingham, Alabama, was named president of the Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy, the Vatican announced October 11th. He will be only the second U.S. prelate to head the Rome-based school, which was founded more than 300 years ago. Bishop Philippe J. Estevez of St. Augustine made a surprise announcement during Mass October 11th that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has elevated the Shrine of Our Lady of La Leche to national shrine status. For many years, the shrine at Mission Nombre de Dios in St. Augustine, Florida, has been a renowned landmark for pilgrims who visit from all over the world. It is America's oldest Marian shrine. In 1609, the Spanish established on the grounds of Mission Nombre de Dios Mary's first sanctuary in the United States. They built a chapel and dedicated it to Our Lady of the Milk and Happy Delivery. Statue of the Nursing and Watchful Mother of Jesus was placed in the chapel. Throughout its existence, the Shrine of Our Lady of La Leche has remained a comforting place of prayer for mothers-to-be, for families, for special intentions, and for those seeking to strengthen their faith, a diocesan news release said. Saints are people who recognized their need for God's help, who took risks to discover God's will and to help others, and who nurtured a habit of thanksgiving, Pope Francis said. The culmination of the journey of faith is to live a life of continual thanksgiving. Let us ask ourselves, do we, as people of faith, live each day as a burden or as an act of praise, the Pope said in his homily October 13th, after formally declaring five new saints for the Catholic Church. Those canonized at the Mass were St. John Henry Newman, the British theologian, poet, and cardinal who died in 1890, Brazilian St. Maria Rita Lopez Pontes, popularly known as Sister Dulce, who died in 1992, Indian St. Mariam Thresia, founder of the Congregation of the Holy Family, who died in 1926, St. Marguerite Bays, a Swiss laywoman and mystic, who died in 1879, and St. Josephine Vanini, the Italian co-founder of the Daughters of St. Camillus, who died in 1911. The mission and foundation of Catholic education are directly related to evangelization, said the head of the National Catholic Educational Association. Catholic schools are obligated to evangelize simply because that is the core and mission of the Catholic Church, according to Thomas Burnford, president and CEO of the NCEA. The apostles told the good news of Jesus Christ, and Catholic schools are an essential and integral ministry of the Catholic Church, he told Catholic News Service. Nationwide, 1.8 million students are enrolled in 6,300 Catholic schools, he noted. Additionally, 80% of students are Catholic, and the remaining 20% are non-Catholic. Despite the percentage difference, the mission of Catholic education is the same for Catholic and non-Catholic students, he explained. Evangelization is present within schools because students are presented with a Catholic worldview that reveals the reality of God and the gospel through the curriculum. With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Thanks so much, Renee. Now let's get to our interview. Today we have in studio Amanda Stid and Madeline Shields of the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House. Thank you both for coming in.
And, thanks for having me.
Welcome, you. Madeline, especially. You know, this is our first time having you on, so it's an honor for me to be introducing you instead of Jerry. You know, he's really missing out today. So I feel very lucky to be introducing you and welcoming you into the show. So welcome.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being here.
Yeah. And Madeline, you know, I know you have been a big part of the community in your background. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and about yourself and your background and, you know, give us some history of who you are?
Absolutely. Well, I am originally from Sioux Falls. You know, I was a North Ender here in Sioux Falls, and anybody who knows all those big Irish family Catholics, we were right there, the Shields family. And I only lived up here for a couple of years because I was the baby of 11. And oh, so, yeah, it's just like all of the families up
just
on
a good Irish Catholic family.
Up on the North End, exactly. And so we moved. I had five brothers and sisters graduate from O'Gorman High School, and then we moved down to south of Lenox, and five graduated from Lenox. And then when I was 15, moved back to Sioux Falls. Fast forward, I went to Lincoln High School. I went to South Dakota State University, go Jacks, got a journalism degree, and then I worked in news, radio and television for 15 plus years.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Yep. And I know we have Amanda in here as well. And Amanda, you are the development coordinator for the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House. Is that correct?
That's correct, Kevin.
Excellent. So you've been with Bishop Dudley Hospitality House for how many years now?
About 2.5 years
now. God, that time flies. It feels like it's been forever. So we have an upcoming event that Bishop Dudley Hospitality House is hosting, and that is a Night of Hope for the Homeless. Can you give us a little bit of background as to what that event is and why people should even care or want to know what it is?
Yeah, definitely, Kevin. So kind of colloquially known as our sleep out event, this is an event that we do every year where we invite, 12 to 14 community leaders to come actually spend the night outside in our parking lot in these big giant refrigerator boxes to help us raise awareness of the homeless situation here in Sioux Falls, but also to help us raise some operational dollars. It's a wonderful evening. Those community leaders, they come and they participate in a program where they check in just like the guests do in the evening. They have a meal similar to what we would serve for lunch. We do a short program talking about homelessness, talking about the services that Bishop Dudley provides. And then they actually go outside to a tent with these refrigerator boxes in it, and that's where they spend the evening. And they get to experience all the sights and the sounds and the smells of being in downtown overnight, it got cold really early this year, Kevin. Experiencing the weather, experiencing the sights, the sounds, everything that goes along with what it would be like to spend a night out on the streets. A little bit more comfortable, obviously. We can't completely recreate the homeless experience, but just a little taste of what it's like.
So if there is snow on the ground, they are sleeping outside with snow on the ground.
100%. Wow. The first year we did this, it actually snowed quite a bit. The evening that we had the event, everybody woke up the next morning with some snow on their boxes. So could see it again this year, Kevin. I mean, yeah, we had some flurries this weekend.
That's true. That is, I don't want to talk about the weather yet.
Exactly.
So, Madeline, this is going to be your first year experiencing the sleep out. Can you tell us who are some of the area leaders that you've invited to participate in this year's event?
Sure. We do have several people who are joining us. Some have come once before. So we have Joan Franken from the Costello Companies, Katie and Dan Fritz from Catholic Community Foundation.
Sure.
Steve Stotts from Avera Health. Eric McDonald, formerly from DocuTap. And Sean Cleary, who is on our board of directors, but he's with Tiger Corp. Kevin Kiergaard from Kello TV. Christine Erickson and Marshall Selberg, who are city councilors. Gene Bender from County Commission. Mark Weber from Waterbury Heating and Cooling. We have police officer Sarah Van Voorst and Matt Althoff from the Catholic Diocese.
Excellent.
Yeah,
that's
so we're
a good list.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And this is my first event with the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House, and it is a night of hope for the homeless. What it is not is my first encountering with homeless people. I come directly to the Bishop Dudley House from the banquet, and I was there for 14 years. And so many of the guests who are turning to the Bishop Dudley House for safety, security, and shelter are people that I have known for many, many years in our community.
Sure.
And by no means do we try to make light of the fact that these folks are staying outside and that they are experiencing a homeless experience, because we all know in reality, they know they have a warm home and a bed to go home to. This is a recreation. It's really to make people stop and pause and just reflect on some of the people who this is their reality every single day of their life. They have no permanent home. They have no security ever. You know, they stay here for a while. They stay at the Bishop Dudley House for a while. They stay on a friend's couch. They are transient. They walk. They have no transportation. And their feet are cold. Their hands are cold. Their ears are cold. And we know that we need to call attention, because there are hundreds of these people in our community. And when we go about our daily lives, you know, we just don't see them. We don't know that they're there. And they're not out. You know, we see a few people maybe, but they're really in the shadows.
Yeah.
They're not happy with their plight in life. And, you know, they are not blatantly out there. And so it's a great reminder for people that this is a reality in our city, and this is an opportunity to really help us help those folks who turn to us for shelter.
Absolutely. And I think that's the greatest thing about the Sioux Falls community in and of itself is, you know, South Dakotans, we always are so friendly and just welcoming and, you know, warm-hearted. You know, most of us are, at least. But in Sioux Falls, you can really sense that communal feel of like, hey, you're going through a tough time. I want to help you out. And, you know, that has never been more evident than when spending time this summer with Amanda, taking photographs for Bishop Dudley Hospitality House. That was such an amazing experience. But what you're saying, it really brings it all together, I think. So during the winter time, especially like Amanda alluded to, with the weather changing, and it seems to be happening rather quickly, do you see an influx of, you know, individuals, families coming in and being serviced by the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House?
Absolutely. We are going into our busiest months of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who would typically sleep outside, they may have a tent. They have a spot where they know that they can securely be outdoors. These temperatures will not allow them to continue that lifestyle. And so they do turn to the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House for shelter. And I haven't been there through a winter, and Amanda can talk about that, but we're going to need volunteers to help us check these folks in. I know that there are nights, you know, we have 80 beds for men, 20 beds for women, and 7 family rooms. We are going to be full. We will be over capacity, and Amanda can speak to that.
Wow.
Definitely. So every year, you know, as Madeline was saying, as soon as the winter hits, we see an influx of people because they don't have other options. You know, somebody that might be staying in their car, when we get below zero, that's just not possible anymore. Even, you know, waking up every couple of hours and turning on your vehicle, it's just not enough. And so last year we ran on average about 95 men and about 25 women.
Wow.
So, you know, that's significantly over capacity for us. But what we do is we make space. We don't turn people away because we're full. So we have cots and mats and extra blankets and everything like that that we put down either in the sleeping rooms, or we open up other rooms, other offices, to make sure that we can accommodate the people that are needing shelter.
That's incredible.
And, you know, one thing we want folks to know who are listening is that everyone has the ability to help. You know, a lot of people will say, you know, I don't have $500 to give to you. Our bread and butter that keep our doors open are $20 to $50 donations. Those really add up. So when you're thinking about what's my $20 going to do, that does an enormous amount for our guests at the Bishop Dudley House.
That's fantastic. And I'm assuming the same thing goes for the sleep out. If people wanted to participate and, you know, feel compelled in their heart to give after hearing about the sleep out, and, you know, maybe area leaders are presenting or something like that. I know Marshall Salzberg is our city councilman from where I live. So, you know, I'm proud that he's participating in this. But can people give, you know, $20, $50, even $10?
Definitely. We highly encourage anybody to give what they can. If you go onto our website at www.bdhh.org, we actually have a page dedicated just to talking about the sleep out, what it is, and we have some really incredible, very powerful videos on there from people that have slept out before. Greg Neitzert, who's actually my city councilman, slept out last year, and there's a great video on that. Mayor Paul Tenhaken, Tammy and Dave Rosenboom.
Okay.
So just some great videos on the experience and what it meant to them and their encouragement to participate in this. So on top of that, there's a link right there where you can donate. Anything helps us, you know, $5, $10, $15. To you, it might not seem like much, but that's a pair of shoes for somebody. That's a meal for somebody. You know, we pinch every penny that comes into Bishop Dudley Hospitality House because we want to be good stewards of the money that comes in, and we want to help as many people as possible. So we highly encourage it. Give your, you know, monetary donation if you can. Give your time, like Madeline was saying, if you can come in and volunteer, that's a huge help to us because that's less hands that we have to have on deck. And then if you have things around your house that you use, that you have extra of, laundry detergent, dish soap, you know, clothing that's in season, we accept all of those things because just like at your house, if you use it there, we probably use it at our house too.
That's fantastic to know. And especially with winter coming up, you know, with coats and things like that, I'm sure that you could use them.
Sure. Coats and warm hats, mittens, scarves, boots. You know, many, many of our guests have no transportation. And so when you think of them walking from one place to another or standing at the bus stop, you know, they're standing in the rain, the sleet, the cold, the wind, you know. When your feet get wet and your socks are wet, you're frozen all day. You know, you just cannot recover from that. And so, you know, we ask for those items as well. And you can go to our website, like Amanda said, and look at our wish list. There are things on there that you can help us all with all year long. And a couple of things that come to mind, and I know a lot of people may have these, is in our day rooms, because we're not just a night shelter, we are a day shelter as well. So people can get out of the elements. We do serve lunch Monday through Friday, and then we offer men's room and women's room where they can come in, use the phone, use the computer, read the newspaper. But our coffee pots are lacking. You can imagine how much we try to, with the coming into the winter, we want to offer some hot coffee for people. And, you know, we've had both of them kind of not working very well recently. So we could really use those big, big coffee pots.
The 100 cup percolators.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yes. We could, we really need those.
You hear that, Sioux Falls? Let's get out there and help them, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you.
So
in advance.
We appreciate you.
So one thing that I know that Bishop Dudley Hospitality House is going through as we wrap up right now, we have about 3 minutes left, is you're going through a capital campaign. Can you give us a brief summation of what's going on with that, Amanda?
Yeah, well, we're really excited about our capital campaign because not only did we reach goal, but we actually exceeded it, which was fantastic because
no
you never know when you're talking about construction what you're going to run into. But we have actually not only finished fundraising, but we have finished all of the upgrades that we were doing to the facility, all the renovations. We were so lucky we were able to get those done before, you know, this wonderful weather came in. But, you know, we just wanted to say a big thank you to the entire community. You know, we kind of decided to do this on a whim, and the community responded just overwhelmingly. Because they knew it's something that's needed in this community. They knew that things that we were doing were to improve not only the condition of the facility, the longevity of the facility, but are working towards providing that dignity and respect to the guests that we serve on a daily basis. So, you know, things that we want to see when we walk into our house, that it's clean, that it smells good, that, you know, all of the things that we need are there. We try to provide for our guests as well. So just a big thank you to everybody.
That's so just to let you know a little bit of the renovations, you know, a lot of people think, well, you've only been open for 5 years. You know, what could you possibly had to remodel? But, you know, you don't know things when you remodel an old building and we go in. And so, you know, we have a new ventilation system in the men's sleeping room and the women's sleeping room. As you can imagine, when you get, you know, 70 to 80 men in one room, you need some ventilation.
Yep.
And so that was added. and as well as a new floor. The flooring in throughout the building, it was wearing extremely fast because of the number of guests that we see.
Yeah.
And so the new flooring is absolutely beautiful, and it's very, very durable.
Good.
And with new restrooms and new bathrooms and showers. We know that those just have a lot of use. You know, just for instance, I can give some statistics here. Since the building opened, we've had 15,300 total visits, 6,279 showers.
Wow.
2,121 loads of laundry have been done. So, you know, we're a working facility. Yeah. It's going all the time. We're only closed 2 hours of the day. So 22 hours a day, we are full of people.
That's incredible.
Yep.
Well, I think I can say for everyone here, thank you for everything that you both are doing. It means a huge impact for the community of Sioux Falls. And, you know, that reaches beyond just Sioux Falls. That reaches to all the surrounding area in our diocese. So, Madeline, thank you so much. We're so happy to have you as our new executive director of the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House. And Amanda, thank you so much for all of your hard work.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having us, Kevin.
Thank you.
So, Renee, what's going on around the diocese this week?
We have a few things. The youth conference is coming up. It's called Come Follow Me. It is November 9th in Brookings.
Okay, at the Swiftel Center, right?
Yes, yes. Excellent. So make sure you get your tickets for those. You can find that at the diocesan website. Also on the website is the new saint blog, which is Saint Vincent de Paul
this time.
And you'll learn some new things about him you probably didn't know before.
Nice little teaser there.
Yes. And we have more parish dinners going on around the diocese. Get good food and some company, some bingo, probably win some prizes.
And volunteer if you have the opportunity to help out.
Yes, absolutely. They can probably use help washing dishes.
Cleaning up and serving, yes. Absolutely.
Yes. And there also will be tickets are on sale for the Christmas at the Cathedral.
Oh.
So don't forget to get those tickets before they sell out.
Yeah. I mean, what a great opportunity to celebrate Christmas as well as, you know, celebrating our mother church.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Renee.
Yep.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we hope you tune in next week to Catholic Views.